Good morning and welcome to Hebron this morning as we meet to worship God. You may have noticed that the men on the door are a bit younger than usual today, and that theme is going to continue throughout today as this is Youth Sunday. The young people will be leading the meeting today, testifying, reading and preaching. And the youth choir is going to be singing. It's the first time they've been singing live since 2019, so it'll be great to hear them live and not a recording. So can I ask you to pray for each one who takes part today? Pray that the Lord will help them and bless them. It's been a pleasure working with the young people this year. We meet in the fellowship area just over here most Friday nights from September through until May. We deal with special subjects, and as well as that, we've had a couple of the young people telling us just something they've read from God's Word in the past week, and that has been to encourage them in their daily walk with God, and it's been encouragement to all of us to hear what they've been reading from God's Word. And we've enjoyed times of fellowship afterwards around a cup of tea and a slice of toast. If there's any young people here who don't attend youth fellowship, you've been made very welcome. For those of you who are in P7, we want to see you in September to come and meet with us on a Friday night, and hopefully over the summer we'll have maybe a night to the lake in Kilray, so you'll be all made very welcome to that. A very quick word of thanks just to the youth committee. They help to organise the meetings for Rebecca, who keeps us in tune on a Friday night, to the young woman who organised the tea rota, to those who help with the oversight, Ryan, Jonathan and Stephen, those who help out driving a minibus whenever we head away, that's greatly appreciated, and to the Reverend Park. He's with us there every week that he can, and even some weeks that he shouldn't be there, he's still with us. He should be other places, but he makes time for the youth of the church, and that's a real encouragement to us all. And to the church as a whole, thank you very much for praying for the young people. Every prayer meeting that I sit in, the youth of the church are prayed for, and that is a great encouragement. All I can say is keep doing it and pray for the youth. That's all I'm going to say today. I'm going to hand over to Lewis now to lead the rest of the meeting.
Good morning. Welcome to church this morning, to our worship service. We're just going to start with our opening praise, hymn number 204. Let us sing of his love once again. And we'll stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
just now going to ask Mr. Greg Gibson to open in a word of prayer.
Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our loving eternal Father in heaven, we humbly bow in thy presence this afternoon and very thankful for the opportunity to be here in the house of God. Thankful for the wonderful day that you've given to us, the sun outside, the blue skies, and just as we marvel at thy creation and thy beauty and splendor of what thou hast done for us. We do thank thee that we can be found in the house of God today. We thank thee for a church that is open, one that preaches the whole counsel of God and who holds to the inspired and the infallible word of God. We come today and coming in through that lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're very thankful for that work that thou hast done on Calvary. Thank thee for the blood that thou hast shed for the remission of our sins. And we do rejoice today in that finished work and for all that thou hast done. We pray especially for this service this day. We pray for our young people. We thank thee for them. Thank thee for a church that has a heart for the youth. And we pray that all of the young people who go to these fellowship, those who perhaps are too young to go yet, will all know the will of the Lord for their lives. We pray for Samuel, for Ryan, for Johnny, for Stephen, the oversight of that work. Pray that you'll give them help, that you'll guide them, you'll direct them in all that they do, that everything will be done for the honor and for the glory of God. We pray today for David as well. We think of him as he would bring thy word in a little while, that you will make him very conscious that he has the right word, the word that God has given to him. And we pray it will be a word for the young people, a word for all of our hearts, a word of challenge, of rebuke, of correction, whatever word it needs to be, may it be that word in season to each and every one of us. And we do think of the church here in Hebron. We thank thee for it. We pray for the pastor, thank you, the Reverend Park, for a man who is saved, who is called, one who has a love for the young people, has a love for all souls, that you will continue to bless him in his ministry, that you will make his ministry a fruitful one, that he would see souls even saved in this day and hour. Again, we're very mindful of the land that we live in. We pray for the people over us in government, that thou will help them to see first and foremost their need of Christ, that they would be graciously saved, that they would be brought into the kingdom of God. And Lord, that they would just abide by thee, that they will do all things for thy name. We pray for our friends in Ukraine at this time, we think of them. I pray for that land as the war is ongoing, that we'll bring it to its end very soon. I pray for other countries around this world as well, that where Christians are being persecuted, where people are being abused and tortured for the name of Christ. And we do ask that you will just bless in all things. Very mindful also of our missionaries this day. I think especially of ones from this church of Norim in Uganda. Pray for her this day that you will bless her and you'll undertake for her in all things. Pray for those who would go out in the summer to Uganda, to Kenya, and again, David of Glen, as they would take up the call there to help out in whatever way that they can. We pray for the sending forth of more men, more women to the mission field, more men for the ministry. And Lord, may you be pleased to do it from our congregation, from young people here, Lord. May they take up the call to go. May they feel burdened. May they feel challenged in their heart to go out and to give their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're also mindful today of the fellowship here in Hebron, of the sick, of the elderly, that you would even just perfect that which concerneth them, those perhaps who would love to be here, who can't be out this day, that you will come alongside and bless. And so, Lord, just give help in all things today. Pray for the testimony in a little while. Pray for Adam as he would read the word. Pray for Keziah as she would read the scriptures as well. And again, pray for David as he would deliver the word. And so bless us now. Just be with us. Reverence thy name. For in Jesus' name we ask those things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. Yes, we're just going to now ask Adam Morrow if he would come and read our psalm for today. And then immediately after that, Aaron Galt is going to come and give his testimony. So if Aaron wants to come up now, maybe so he's ready. Thank you.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
Good morning, everyone. It's always a pleasure to be able to share your testimony. And I pray that you'll bear with me this morning. It's always harder in front of your own congregation. But I'm just going to read a few verses from Psalm 31. And really, if I was to say nothing else this morning, this psalm really is a testimony to me. And we'll commence. It's Psalm 31 and the verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, and yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my ears with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbours, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many, fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trust it in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. So for you that don't know me, my name's Aaron. I was born on the 14th of March 2000 in Ballymoneyrit Hospital. You know you're getting older whenever the place you were born isn't even there anymore. And I just want to say before I start, anything that I say this morning is not to glorify myself in any way, but to glorify the Lord for what he's done in my life. I had the privilege to be brought up in a Christian home, along with my younger brother Ben and my younger sister Cherith. I want to thank God for giving me godly parents and godly grandparents. My parents attended Bishmouth Free Presbyterian Church at the time, and from an early age I was sent along to all the church meetings that I can remember. Sunday school, Sunday services, prayer meetings and children's meetings. And from a young age, as I can remember, the gospel was preached to me faithfully. At the age of 4, I started Damhead Primary School. And at the age of 5, my dad pointed me to the Lord at the bottom of my bed. Primary school, in a sense of living the Christian life, was easy. There was no real difficulties growing up as a child. And if we fast forward through primary school, till around the age of 11 or 12, I had just finished primary school, and to get accepted into Corian Inns, and Corian Inns was always a school I wanted to go to, mainly because my dad and his two brothers went there. So it was always a school I wanted to go to, but little did I know, this is where my life would take a drastic change. This was really my first time, in a sense, entering into the big bad world, where I would face my first real difficulties and temptations. First year of secondary school was really the turning point in my life. It's where I first was introduced to cursing, smoking, and drinking. Second and third year of school, I was starting to slowly drift away from the Lord, and I started hanging out with the wrong people. I found myself speaking the way they were and acting how they were also. It was around this time, around the age of 14 or 15, that my parents made the decision to leave Bushmills Free and look for another church where there was a larger youth, because at the time it was only me, Ben and Cherith, were the youth in Bushmills at that time. So we were around a few churches, and I'm glad to say today that we found our home in Ballymoney. At the age of about 16, I was in fourth year at the time. My attitude towards everything and everyone had changed. It was a warm, sunny day and school had just finished, and on purpose, I would have missed the bus home so that I could go down the town and mess about. It was on the way down walking to get the bus home that one of my friends brought out a cigarette and lit it up and offered me a smoke. And to my shame, for me not wanting to look stupid and to fit in with the crowd, I took the cigarette. And as soon as I handed it back to him, there was a loud shout from behind me shouting Aaron. So I turned around and it was our vice principal. I couldn't believe it. And I can assure you, he didn't want to meet me whenever I went home that day. One cigarette turned into another and then another, and before I knew it, I couldn't stop. I was always getting into trouble at school and always bringing shame to my family's name. And then at the age of 17, I passed my driving test, and this again was another problem for me. At the age of 16, I got into a relationship and I thought things were maybe starting to look up for me. But that ended it and I took it bad. I struggled with mental health for a long time and ended up on antidepressants and started drinking. The first time I had a drink, I was at the Highland Show with work, and I wanted to take this time to thank my uncle Garth, some of you may know him as Dungay, for all that he's done for me and the amount of chances that he gave me. He really is like a second dad to me. While at the show, I thought I would have my first drink, but one turned into 10, and to my shame, I couldn't even work the next day. At the age of 18, I told my parents that enough was enough. I was an adult now and I wanted to live my own life, and that they couldn't make me go to church anymore, so I stopped attending church as often. A few months later, I fell into another group of friends that I would then start doing lifts for. At the start, I didn't know what the lifts were for, but I didn't care as I was getting paid money. I later found out that I was doing lifts for drugs, but as naive as I was, I said that was fine, I'll never be doing them. And then they started to do them in the car in front of me whenever I was with them, and it only took so long till I was joining in with them. The first drug that I tried was cannabis. I only started taking it with my friends once or twice a week, until I found myself taking it all the time just to function. I then started dabbling with other drugs, such as MD, ket, and other tablets, and the drug that completely ruined my life, cocaine. I took cocaine for the first time on my 18th birthday, and I thought it was great, I'm not going to lie, I loved it. I was able to take it at the weekend, and then not be able to take it for a month, until I started taking it more and more, and in larger quantities, until I could not control my addiction. I could tell you of many stories about cocaine done to me and my family, and how it ruined family relationships and personal relationships as well. The effects it had were horrific. The embarrassment I brought to my home breaks my heart now, but at the time, all I cared about was the cocaine and how I could get money to get it. I would have done anything to get the money. Sadly to say, every single penny I had went on drugs, and it took everything off me. I ended up stealing off my parents, my brothers, my sisters, my grandparents. Anywhere I saw money, or I knew money was being hid, I took it. It got so bad that I started selling things I owned, such as phones, Xboxes, games, anything that I knew that value, I sold, regardless if it was mine or not. Things just kept getting worse, and I started getting into worse and worse company, which ended up bringing nothing but trouble to my door. Pretty much every night of the week, I was out, not even coming home until 10 or 11 the next day, and then just sleeping all the drugs out of my system to go out and do the same the next night. My mum and dad and brother and sister has shed more tears over me than I'll ever know. One night I remember coming home in that drunk and on drugs that I forgot my house key and I had to ring the doorbell. My mum came down the stairs, opened the door, and I walked in. I could barely walk in the door, and she says, "Have you been drinking?" And I was just like, "No, I haven't been drinking." I made it up the stairs, and the first place I went to was the toilet where I'd spend the next hour being sick. And I remember this memory the most because the next morning I found out my sister had to sleep down the stairs because she couldn't stop crying because of the noise of me being sick. But no matter how many things like this happened, it still wasn't enough for me to change. I promised and promised that this was the end and that I would never take them again, but I just kept giving them false promises to keep them happy and keep them off my back. This went on for about 3 years, and I still denied to myself that I was addicted to drugs, even though I was taking them pretty much every night of the week. There are many nights I just remember lying in my room, not being able to sleep, staring at the ceiling the whole night, just because of the effects of cocaine. And some people might think, how could you ever do that? Or how could someone ever want to be like that? But it got to the point in my life where I had no choice over the matter. In a sense, I needed them to feel normal, and I couldn't live without them. Drugs destroyed every single relationship with the people that I had. My family didn't want to know me, and I can't blame them. I got so greedy with the drugs in the end that I had to start doing them by myself because I didn't want to share with anyone else I was with. However, the 1st of June 2021 is a day that I'll never forget. A week previous to this, I had left the house and not come home. I left on the Thursday, and I was paid on the Friday. I met with a friend and spent the whole time from Thursday evening to the Monday morning doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. In the space of 4 days, I had spent £1,500 with nothing to show for it. On the Monday morning, I decided to go out, and two of my friends came with me. It was around 9:30 in the morning, and long story short, I fell asleep and had a head-on collision with another car. I remember waking up and I just started crying. It's only by God's grace that I'm standing here today giving you my testimony. The three people in my car were all taken in an ambulance to hospital. The other driver was airlifted. I got home from hospital the next day with only getting staples in my leg and a sore chest, and I realized something had to change. This is where my story changes. My dad came into the room where I was lying and he said, "Son, would you like me to call Chris Kilm and to get him to come and visit you?" My dad had asked me this many times before, but I never thought that I needed Chris to come see me. I never thought it was that bad. But that time, I just said yes, bring him to the house. So Chris came and visited me, and they told me all about a residential home down in Dublin called New Hope Residential Centre. And within 2 weeks, on June 13th, I was heading down to Tala. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, leaving everything behind. But I want to thank God that I had the opportunity to go down and learn many more things that I hadn't yet learned in my life, and it was time for me to grow up and start afresh. I was in the home for about 2 weeks at the time, and one of the workers I was speaking with referred a passage to me to read. So I went down to my room and I read the passage and I broke down in tears, and on the 30th of June 2021 I dedicated my life back to the Lord. I just wanted to take this time to thank Chris Kiln, Matthew Hunter, Leighton Kelly and all the workers at New Hope for all that they've done in my life. I was in the home for about 8.5 months and returned home in February this year. I'm not going to stand here and lie. It hasn't been easy. I've let the Lord down many times, but I'm thankful that His grace is sufficient for me. And there is a verse that I learned down in the home, and I've held it dear to my heart ever since, and it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taking you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will also with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. When I returned home, I was given the chance to go to Romania with Reverend Park and Jonathan McCauley. And I'm truly thankful at this opportunity. It was a really blessed time and a great time of fellowship, and many memories I'll never forget. However, after I'd returned home from the home and from Romania, there has been a few ups and downs. I was up in court for the collision I was in April 2022, and I was charged and had a fine, and I got a 16-month driving ban. Sin always has its consequences. However, there's been many ups too. I've also started a new job at Macaulay's Engineering, where I've been up working the last 2 months. And I just want to thank Jonathan for giving me the opportunity to work in there as well. And I think it was in a month at the time, and Jonathan came around showing people about, and the weld had just been finished, and he came over and looked at the weld, and he was just like, "That's bad, like." So this is only really a thing that me, Jonathan, and Reverend Park will understand, but it's many fond memories down in Romania. And if I could give the young people any advice, it would be to choose your company and your friend group wisely. Proverbs 13:20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And I would just like to thank Reverend Park for everything that he's done for me in the last year between his calls, his visits down to the home, and his prayers. And I would also like to thank the whole congregation for your prayers also. Could I just ask that you continue to pray for me and that God would reveal His will in my life and what He would have me to do. And I would just also like to say this morning that if there is someone in the meeting this morning that's unsaved, my prayer is that you will ask Christ into your life this morning, that you will come to know Him. It doesn't matter what you've done or what age you are. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world, that's you and that's me. And God sent the Son into the world to die on a cross, that we might be pardoned if we would only trust in him." Amen.
We come to the part of the announcements, and nobody likes to give the announcements, so I'm here to do that and to bid you welcome in the Saviour's precious name. Thank you, Lewis, for leading, and Aaron for your testimony, and others that have taken part and will take part. I want to say a very warm word of welcome to all, and providentially, I've been suffering with a hoarseness in my throat, so I'm not preaching today. In 2 weeks, I'm not preaching, and we've organized something for next week to help out. So we're getting a little bit of rest from that part. If you're visiting, we welcome you especially in the Saviour's precious name. We're very glad to have Eamon's daughter visiting with us today from Dublin, Victoria. And we trust that the Lord will bless her as she comes here, and any other visitors that are with us, and those that are tuning in on the internet. This is Youth Sunday. We have another meeting tonight at 7, the gospel service, and the young people again are responsible for that. The prayer meeting is at 6:30. Refreshments will be served after the evening service, and ladies, we're looking to you to bring the eatables. There will also be a meeting after tonight's service for those that are going on outreach to Romania. That's towards the end of the month, leaving on the 24th. Of June. Tomorrow night is the meeting for our elders at 8 o'clock. Tuesday morning, the senior fellowship will be meeting at 11. Wednesday evening, the Sunday school is having a football tournament at the Joey Dunlop Centre. It's on the 4G pitch. More players are needed, especially girls. And if parents, you can text Wesley if your kids are going, so that he can sort out the team. So please do attend to that. Midweek service on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Our brother Phil Moffat, our clerk of session, will be the speaker. There'll be special prayer for the Christian school. Friday night, the youth fellowship. And Friday night's also presbytery for the elders in Macrofelt. Saturday is the Sunday school outing. And it's not just for the children of the Sunday school, it's for all who would like to go. And therefore, by tonight, we need your name on the list. We have 3 coaches ordered, and if we need to order an additional coach, we need to have your names on that list to know exactly how many are going. The buses will be leaving at 9:30 on Saturday morning. We usually bring lunch with us for the outing, and we're asking those who are travelling if the ladies can bring 3/4 of a loaf of sandwiches and 2 dozen buns. So the plan is, as we used to do, we're going to Crawfordsburn. They'll spend a period of time there in the morning. We'll get lunch. We'll drop everyone off in Bangor. And then we'll end up in the evening time at McDonald's, returning home in the evening. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock. The Sabbath school, 10:30, the Bible class at 10:30, and Mervyn is dealing with the overall subject, Christ, All We Need. And these are studies in the all-sufficiency of Christ for life's journey. And Mervyn will deal with Christ is all we need in his person, the impeccability of Christ. The worship service is at 12 noon, and we're having a special testimony from Pastor Valentin Pavlenkov, from Ukraine. They've been with us now for 7 weeks. They normally come and worship with us here at our noon service, but they're having their own meeting this morning because they're away tonight, and they are celebrating the Lord's table this morning. So with all having arrived, now 38 altogether, we're going to make next Lord's Day just a special day with Ukraine in mind. And the pastor will give his testimony in the morning. And then the gospel meeting, not at 12 noon, at 7. Sasha Boschko, he will be giving his testimony. Can I also remind you of Children's Day It's on the 19th of June, 2 weeks from now, 12 noon and 7. I want to thank you for your tithes and offerings to God's work today. Let the Bible Speak envelopes and the missionary covenant support as due. And next Lord's Day, the building fund. Can I also thank those who came to the Ballymoney show and helped out. Many of you were there giving assistance, being a witness for the Lord. And we want to acknowledge that, especially on John's behalf, for coming in and doing that wee service for the Lord. As I mentioned, the final five have arrived from Ukraine, so that makes 38 altogether, and they arrived on Friday night. It was at 1:30 in the morning at the time we got here, arriving in the church car park, and just greeting their friends who had come on before. They had prepared something different for him to explain.
This is powerful at 12:40 in the morning, sitting and having a cup of tea. One big happy family. Luba's going to go to sleep.
So please remember to pray for them. Very sadly, yesterday they got the news in the morning that their church in Sarysaltov was bombed. It had remained intact up until now. Properties, 50% of the village has just been decimated. So you know you've got Kharkiv, you've got their village of Sarysaltov, and then you have the Russian border up there in the northeast. And they got this disturbing news that the church is completely ruined. So do pray for them, please. We offer our sincere sympathy to John and Aline McCauley and their family circle on the passing of Aline's sister, Joan Craig, assuring them of our prayers at this time. Those that are sick in hospital and those that are particularly needing the Lord's touch, we think of Mervyn. We were in touch with Mervyn. He had surgery on Wednesday. He's made a little bit of recovery, but he's still got a long way to go. Mrs. Kyle, Paul's mother, is unwell in Antrim Hospital. Aaron Laverty is having surgery on Tuesday. And Vika, one of our Ukrainian ladies, is suffering with arthritic pain. She hadn't been down for over a week to the breakfast table. She's just had to stay in bed because of the pain. Please pray for her. John Finlay, whose cancer has spread in his body, would appreciate the prayers of the church. And Colin McKee, from our Cumber congregation, had a farm accident. Pray for his recovery. And all the others on the prayer list that we remember week by week. Thank you, and may the Lord bless this service.
Thank you, Mr. Park, and thank you to Adam and Aaron as well. It's been probably a couple of years since you've heard our youth choir. And you've maybe got used to the likes of the Hebron Choir and such. We're maybe not quite as highfalutin as that. I'm sure we'll sound sweet whenever we're all in heaven, but for now you might just take a bit of imagination. But yes, we'll ask the youth choir to come up. The Lord will receive our praise no matter how gentle we are. So now we'll just have the youth choir. Thank you.
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive.
Oh,
That went better maybe than we thought, but we'll now just sing the hymn number 371, My Jesus, I Love Thee, I Know Thou Art Mine. And again, we'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
just one more little announcement that I forgot to make. Samuel sent me a message. There's no youth fellowship on this Friday coming. So no youth fellowship. I'm just now going to ask Keziah Owens if she'll come and do your scripture reading for us, and then immediately after that, if David McCauley would like to come up and preach the word. Thank you very much.
This reading is from Luke 5, verses 1 to 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let your nets down for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Thank you.
Well, can I just thank, on your behalf, Lewis, for leading, and then also for Keziah for reading that passage of God's Word. And that's the passage that we want to preach on today, so if you just keep your Bibles open there, we'll be preaching from there. But before we do that, can we all just bow our heads, please, in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence once again, and we thank you for all that has taken place so far. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for even the testimony that we have heard of your grace in Aaron's life. And Lord, we just pray that now as we come to your word, that you would help me as I preach. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come and to enable me. We pray also for the Holy Spirit to come upon the hearer as well, that we would have a blessed time together under the sound of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So for young people, as this is Youth Sunday, especially if you're coming up to the time, your age, where you're at the A-level stage and you're wondering, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Of course, the big question is, what do I do when I leave school? Maybe you're thinking of a certain career that you want to do. You're thinking, what am I good at? I'll do that. Or maybe you want to go to university, pursue that, or just to leave school and get a job, start earning money straight away. But you'll have certain aspirations when you're thinking about this. And you'll have a certain lifestyle that you want to go after. Maybe not necessarily getting a lot of money. You might simply just want to be comfortable, get the house you need, the car that you need, and so on. But you'll need the career or the occupation and able to do that. That's the thing. Well, here in Luke chapter 5, we read of two certain men who were known to have served their time in different occupations. First of all, we've read about Peter here. Peter grew up beside the Sea of Galilee. He knew how to fish. He grew up there as a boy. So he knew how to read the water, how to read the habits of the fish, how to rig up a boat and so on to be able to fish. That was his occupation. But then you have Jesus Christ. Now we know that by this point in Luke chapter 5, Jesus Christ had already started his earthly ministry. But what did Jesus Christ serve his time at? Well, in Matthew chapter 13 and 55, we see that his father Joseph was a carpenter. And then in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, we're told that when people heard the teachings of Jesus Christ, they were all amazed and astonished because they said, is this not the carpenter? And so this was Jesus Christ's occupation. He was a carpenter. Now we could spend a lot of time going into detail about that fact. We know very little about Jesus Christ's first 30 years on this earth. But God yet has told us this one thing about him, that he worked, and his occupation was a carpenter. And I kind of like the thought that the creator of the whole world the one who created all things, then took of those things that he created and made something even more practical and, you'd say, even beautiful out of those things. And there's a whole message involved in that. You think of how Jesus Christ, he takes his creation in us and he uses us in becoming and shaping us to be more like himself. And that's an amazing truth of the gospel. But back to our account in Luke, and we have here Peter the fisherman and Jesus Christ who meet here in this day at the Lake Gennesaret. Something happens. It's the carpenter who tells the fisherman how to fish. And the thing is, Peter the fisherman, he listens to that advice. That's remarkable, isn't it? You think if we put ourselves in Peter's shoes here and Jesus Christ the carpenter comes and tells us how to fish, you might say, well, look, I don't tell you how to work your wood, and please don't tell me how to fish. I've been doing this all my life. But the amazing response from Peter is, at thy word, I'll let down the nets. You see, when Christ told him to do something, Peter here, he listens to what Christ has to say. But not only listens, but he obeys. And there's a huge difference between the two. And so today, I want to pick up on that thought. And with this response of Peter and the passage that we've read from, I want to think about how we should respond to a call from Christ. We'll see how Peter responds to this call coming from Christ, and then we'll think about how we should respond to the call of Christ as well. But first of all, to set the scene a little bit more, this is really just a continuation of the introduction I've already mentioned. There's two people particularly involved here. There's Peter, and then there's Christ. But I want to try and have us to put ourselves into the context here, into the actual event itself. And we'll do that because I believe it will help us greatly with the application that flows from it. So they're standing at this lake, the Lake Gennesaret, and that's the same as what is known as the Sea of Galilee. It's the same place. But Christ gets into this boat and he asks that boat to be pushed out a little from the shore so he'll be able to then preach from it. And who owns the boat? It's Peter's boat. But then Christ, he says to Peter, right, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, if you're wondering what a draught is, I'm wondering how to pronounce it because Kaziah said draught. What was it? Thought, draught. Is it a draught or draft? But never mind. Whatever it is, it means to catch. That's really what it is. Christ is saying to Peter here, let down your net and catch the fish. And Peter, he does it, but it's not without some hesitation. You'll see that in verse 5 of the chapter that we've read from. Initially, it didn't make sense to Peter to let down his nets where Christ told him to do that. But remember, Peter isn't experienced, and we can presume a good fisherman. He's done it all his life. Look what he says to Christ then in verse 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night, and we've taken nothing. You see, this made little to no sense to the fisherman and Peter. We've toiled all night, we've taken nothing. Experience says to move on then. Don't try there again, at least not now. But remarkably, Peter does listen, and he obeys. He lets down the nets, and he brings in a catch as a result that two boats are not able, or they are able to bring it in, but they struggle to bring in such a catch. So that's Peter a little bit more in this scene with the boat and with Christ in the boat. But continuing to set the scene, I want you to imagine that you're an eyewitness to all of this. You're one of the crowd. And you see Peter and his partners, they're washing the nets, and you know what that means. That means they're done. And by the lack of all the fish around them, then you know they've been pretty unsuccessful the night before. But then you see Christ takes them out to the very same place, and you see there's a commotion with the boats, and they end up bringing in this amazing catch of fish. And you're thinking, this is unreal, this doesn't happen. But imagine then you're not just one of the crowd, but rather you're another fisherman. Right? So this is the Sea of Galilee. No doubt there were other boats in the area, even though Luke chapter 5 doesn't tell us of other boats. But no doubt there would have been. So there's other boats and other fishermen involved in here, and they know the failure of the night before. Then they see Peter letting down his nets in the exact same place where they were the night before and had failure at the command of Jesus Christ, and they must be thinking, what is Peter doing? You see, they must have thought Peter to be a fool, but yet you see Peter, in spite of his own hesitations, his own experience, in spite of the crowd and what they might think, and in spite of all the other fellow peers around him, the experienced peers, Peter obeys at the call of Christ, and he's rewarded, and everyone is astonished. That's what's happening here, as we set the scene here at the Lake of Gennesaret. Now let's think of some of the application that we can take from that scene. And to do that, we want to first of all think of the question, well, why does Peter obey this command of Christ? We've seen the command that was given, let down your nets. But why does Peter obey that? Well, you'll have noted that in our text, especially verse 5, if you look there again, Peter here refers to Christ in a very specific way. He says, and Simon, that is Peter, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So Peter calls Jesus Christ Master here, and that's very significant if we're going to think about the question, well, why does he obey? Jesus Christ is the Master. So now, the term Master was used a lot in the New Testament days, and so it can mean many different things. There's different Greek words for Master, and it can mean different things. So you have to ask the question, what's the Greek word used here in this context, and then, well, what does it mean? Because it can mean a teacher, which is probably the most common use of it, or it can mean rabbi, which is really a title of honor and respect. And it can also mean one you respect to as one who has authority over you. And that's really, when we come to our text and think about what it means here, that's what it really means. It's referring to one who has authority. That's the one Peter is interacting with, the one who has authority. But we said in our introduction that Jesus Christ was renowned as the carpenter. So why or how does the carpenter then receive this great title of Master? How did the carpenter receive such authority? Well, to the extent that Peter's ready to take the carpenter's advice on how to fish. Well, I want to put to you here that the reality is that by using this term, Master, Peter's revealing to us here that this is surely not the first time that he's had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Peter here knows something more about Christ than what we read here in Luke chapter 5, and we know that to be true if we just turn back one chapter to Luke chapter 4. So just please do that, to Luke chapter 4 and the verse 14. We've already intimated that Christ has started his earthly ministry, and if you look at verse 14, it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Then in verse 37, and the fame of him, that is Jesus Christ, went out into every place of the country round about. So yeah, there we see the fame of Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry, his teaching, it's all going out throughout the country, and no doubt Peter will have heard something of Jesus Christ's teaching. But even more striking than that is the fact that in verse 38, we see that Christ has already been in Peter's house. Look what it says in verse 38 and 39. And he, that is Jesus, arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So now you see, Peter knew Jesus Christ as much more than just the carpenter when we come to Luke chapter 5. And what's the point? Well, my point is that I believe Peter already knew what it was to have a personal experience or a personal relationship with Jesus Christ before he ever met Christ at the Lake of Gennesaret and before Christ ever got into his boat. What made the difference then? What made him obey the Master? Was it? It wasn't just that he heard of the fame of Christ, seen his miracles, many people did, but Jesus Christ was not their master. It wasn't just that he heard his preaching, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, as it was called, or the depth of his teaching. Many people did, but did not accept Christ. What made the difference with Peter here was that Peter believed in who Jesus Christ was. He believed in the message of Jesus Christ, and that's what made the difference. And so no longer was this the carpenter telling the fisherman how to do his job. This was the Master, and I put it to you, this is the Savior guiding his child. You can't have Christ as Lord and Master if he's not, first of all, your Savior. That's what we're getting from this. Young person or whoever you are listening to this morning, if you want to be guided and directed by God, and I hope you do, but if you want to be guided by the Lord, you must first of all have him as your Savior. Now, you've heard of his teachings. I'm sure you have. You're here today. You've heard of Jesus Christ and the teachings of Christ's gospel. You know that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. But the question for you and for us all here today is, do you know your sins forgiven? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? That's where it starts. That's where it started here for Peter. If he is your Savior, then you have a Savior who is also your Master. The Master who has set you at liberty, he saved you from a life of sin, and he gives you guidance in that new life that he has given. That's what's happening here with Peter in the boat. He's guiding his child step by step. Peter knew Jesus Christ as his Lord. That's why he obeyed him in a heartbeat. But remember what Christ told Peter to do. If you remember what he told him to do, go out into the deep and cast down your nets. That didn't actually make a lot of logical sense. And so thirdly, let's think of this strange direction that Peter obeyed. There's a strange direction here that Peter obeyed. And this is what really struck me when I first thought of this passage here in Luke 5, which is really where we want to get to today. All we've said is to lead really to this point. We've seen that Peter knows Christ personally. He believes in Christ and his message. But now he receives this strange, as I've put it, this strange direction from Christ. To go back out to where you caught no fish the night before and put down your nets there. It made no sense. Peter knew it made no sense. The other ship that was with him and his crew was surely thinking, what's Peter doing here? Not to mention the crowd that probably knew a thing or two about fishing being from that area. No sense did this make to them. But here's what God challenged me about when I thought about this whole scene. Sometimes what God calls us to do seems to make no sense. Let me make myself clear here. It makes no sense to us and to others around us, but it makes perfect sense to God. His ways are perfect. We believe that. We understand that to be true. But in our own humanity, in our own thinking, sometimes God asks us to do something, and we're thinking to ourselves, really? You want me to do what? When I look out to this crowd here today, and you might do the same, and maybe God has been calling you to do something, you're looking around, and you're thinking, well, why me? Look at everyone else in this church today. It just makes no sense. And at that point, you have a choice to make. What do you do with that information that's coming your way, with that call of God that comes your way? What do you do with that? You know, Peter had that same choice to make. He's at a crossroads, we might say, and how the rest of Peter's life is going to look really may hinge upon the decision that he makes at this point in his life. What do I do? Do I listen to the Master and what he desires? Or do I do my own thing? What makes sense to me? Now, there was a moment of struggle within Peter. We see that in verse 5 again. He says there, Master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. So Peter here, he sees a problem. And the excuses could well have kept on coming. He could have said, look, we've toiled all night and we're tired. We've washed the nets. We're done for the day. Maybe some other day. Or people might think, we're crazy going out there again. I've got a reputation to keep up. Or he may just say, look, thanks. Thank you for the advice. I appreciate it, but I know what I'm doing. This makes no sense. Peter could have came out with many an excuse, but he doesn't. As soon as Peter says to Christ, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing, he says in the next breath, but at your word, we'll do it. At your word, we're going to do it. And maybe in this meeting today, you feel God calling you, and in all honesty, it is to you a strange thing. To many of us, we'll know that to be true. And that's maybe what's holding you back today. It's just strange. But what's the test for you in that moment? What's the test for us all? The test is, will you trust Christ with that thing that he wants you to do, to trust and obey? Now, the remarkable thing is, if you're saved today, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've already trusted him with the greatest miracle in your life. He saved you from sin. He's given you eternal life. Will you then trust him in the aspect of your physical life then, to give your life over to him in the physical sense? Peter could see the strangeness of this request. Others may have ridiculed him for going through with it, but he trusted in the one who issued the request, and he trusts in Christ. So don't let the familiarity of the words that we all know from Proverbs 3 and 5, with the familiarity of them, don't let them lose their impact. When God gives you something to do, what's his desire for us? Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's really the example that we have here of Peter when he obeys this strange direction. He's trusting in Christ, the one who gives it, and therefore the example is there for us to trust and obey when Christ ushers the call to us. But then finally and fourthly, we see here the result of Peter obeying the commands of Christ. There's results here. First of all, we've seen why he obeys. It's because Jesus Christ is his master and his savior. We've seen the strange request that he obeys. He trusts Christ even in that strange request. But then we see here there's results. There's really two results that come from this experience, at least two that we want to really pick out here this afternoon. The first result is from the response of Peter. We see there in verses 8 and 9. So look there, Luke chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Where we're told when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So really, from verse 8 especially, you see that there's this kind of fearful response in Peter. And when you read of that fearful response, you might be thinking, well, being afraid was a strange response from Peter. Why the fear? You might think yourself, if you put yourself in Peter's boat here, and you've had a bad night of business, there's no fish coming in, and then two boats are just full of fish, you might think, well, happy days, it's a nice tidy pay packet. And so your response might be to Christ, just one of happiness and thankfulness. Definitely not fear, which we see here in Peter. But why then, or what is the reason for Peter responding in the way that he did? Well, fear doesn't mean here in Peter that he was afraid of his life ending. That's really not the fear that's in view here. It's not that kind of fear. It's a fear that speaks of awe and amazement. You see, Peter, at this point, is at this moment just in full awareness of the one who is in the boat with him. That is Jesus Christ. Peter looked beyond the fish that was in the boat, and he looked at the one who by a miracle had put them there. He's looking to Christ. He witnessed and experienced the power of Christ, and as a result of that, he feels his own weakness and his own inability. And so then, in essence, what happens to Peter? He's humbled. He's humbled through this whole experience. That's what's really going on here. The fear and the throwing himself down at the feet of Christ is Peter responding in humility to what Christ has just done. And that's always the right response when we look to Christ, isn't it? We see him for who he is, the eternal Son of God, our Savior. And then we see us, ourselves, for who we are, sinners in need of that Savior. And we think of Christ, the one who steps in to be our Savior. And with that thought comes humility. We're just in awe of Christ and all that he has done. That's the first result that comes from this experience in Peter's life. He's humbled by it. But we said there's two results. Let's look at the second. In verse 10 and 11, we read these words, bringing into the middle of the verse. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Before we get into the result there in verse 11, first of all, look at the comfort that Christ gives to Peter here. He says, "Fear not." I remember Peter's words in verse 8, "Depart from me. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Depart from me." But what's Christ's response to that? Christ, in essence, says, "No. Fear not, Peter. I'm not leaving." Peter here requested that Christ would depart from him out of a heart that felt its unworthiness. But Christ says, I'm going nowhere. I'm not leaving. And in fact, you're coming with me. And as a response to that, then Peter and the others that were called that day, they forsook all and they followed Christ. That's really a remarkable turn of events, isn't it, when you think about it? This was a monumental day in the life of Peter and the others that were there that day. One day you're just going about your business, then you have this encounter with Jesus Christ that totally changes the direction of your life. That's what happens here with Peter. Now, when you read the story here that we've just spent some time in, and you read those words, they forsook all and followed him, you can read that and then miss the impact of that. You think of Peter and his fellow men here. They were just ordinary men. They were fishermen, just going about their normal days or nights' work with all intentions of continuing on in that work and coming back to it. But yet they meet Christ, and Christ says to them, follow me. And they obey. That's quite something when you think about it. And I began this message today with the introduction by saying that we all have aspirations, don't we? When you're young, you might want this career or that career. You might see yourself with this house or that car or whatever it might be. We all have aspirations. And they stay with us. Even when we're older, we maybe have new aspirations, but they're there. Peter was the same. Just a man with aspirations, I'm sure. But the call from his Lord to serve him found Peter just in a moment leaving those things behind. Now, did he stop caring about those things? I don't think so. I mean, our aspirations stay with us. We still care. But the point for us is that his priorities took a change. I believe that's the truth. In seeing Christ for who he is, the Lord's call to Peter rang louder than anything else, even his own aspirations. Now, I've been referring to young people mostly in this meeting, in this message so far, and that's, of course, because it's Youth Sunday. But Peter here is not a young man in his teens here either. So let's say something to the older folks here in the meeting as well. If I mention the names to you, Moses or David or Gideon or Matthew or Paul or Peter, what did they all have in common? Well, they were all working men. And even more than that, they were working men in the middle of working when God came and called them. You think of Moses and David as shepherds out looking after their sheep, and God comes and calls them into service. You think of Gideon, he's there at the threshing, threshing the wheat. God comes and calls him. You think of Matthew lifting the taxes, Paul on his assignment to persecute Christians on the road to Damascus. Christ steps in and calls him. You think of Peter, the fisherman, in the story that we've just read. He's fishing, cleaning his nets. God comes and calls. And so God comes, they hear the call, and they leave all and follow. And so therefore, from this event, isn't there a challenge here for all of us? At the call of Christ, are we willing to put aside all and follow him at his command? Where he will lead, I will go. And we sing that, for I have learned to love him. So we sing that, but is it our experience? Are we ready and willing? And again, maybe you do feel led to do something for God. That's great. I trust that you do. We're all called to do something. And very often our lives in service for him, there's just simply taking every opportunity to witness for Christ. That's really what God's will for all of us really is, just to take every opportunity to speak of him. But don't miss how he uses those opportunities to lead you into the next opportunity, and very often lead you into a greater opportunity to serve him. So finally, just think of the order of the events here that we've thought about today. First of all, there was this hearing of the message of Christ and the believing in Christ that came first in Peter's life. That must come first. But then there's the getting in to the boat. Christ asks Peter if he can use his boat, and it's a simple request. Peter obliges. And then Christ asks Peter to push the boat out a little further, and Peter obeys. Then Christ asks Peter to throw out the net, probably the most difficult thing to date. Here he's just pushing Peter outside of his comfort zone, but Peter obeys. And then Christ asks Peter to follow him, to forsake all and follow, and Peter again forsakes all and follows after Christ. And just when I read that list out to you, I'm wondering, where do you put yourself there? Is Christ just in the boat? Has he just stepped in the boat with you? Are you at that step? Or is Christ asking you to push the boat out a little bit further in what he wants you to do? Or is he pushing you outside of your comfort zone at the minute, testing you to do something more for him? Or is he actually at the point where he asked Peter to forsake all and follow after? Where do you see yourself here? Because you're somewhere in that list. Where are you today in relation to Christ and what he wants you to do with your life? Now, as a young person and an older person as well, of course there's a fear that comes. It's a scary thing to give your life over to Christ in the way that Peter did here, forsaking all to follow. But isn't it also true that there in the center of God's will is where you find the best peace? There's a passage in John chapter 6, and it's where Jesus Christ, he's after teaching to the crowd on another occasion, and the crowd, they disperse, they're all leaving. So Christ turns to the disciples and asks, will you also leave? And Peter, with a much different response than we have in Luke chapter 5, he says to Christ, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else will we go? Where else would we want to be? You see, Peter understood that with Christ there was life, with Christ there's peace. And that, in the center of God's will, was where Peter wanted to remain. And so I hope and I trust that there's been something in this account of Luke chapter 5 that has been an encouragement to you today, a challenge even to you. You just read on in the life of Peter. The life of Peter doesn't end here in Luke chapter 5. You see what Christ did with Peter. You read the early chapters of Acts. Read 1st and 2nd Peter. What Christ did with this fisherman. It was all for his honor and for his glory, and Peter never regretted it. And so I trust that we'll all know how to rightly respond to the call of Christ when it comes, and I trust that he'll give us the grace and the faith to respond even as Peter did, and to forsake all and simply just to follow through with Christ. So can I thank you for your attention just at the end of this message, and with the thoughts that we've thought about in our hearts, let's just bow our heads and close in a word of prayer, please. Our Savior and our Lord, we, at the end of this service, we come into your presence in thanksgiving and praise for all that you have done in and through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. But what a privilege it is for us to be saved. We recognize that we are nothing in and of ourselves, only but for the power of Christ working in us. And Lord, we are humbled by that fact, that Jesus Christ would come to save those who are sinners, enemies of God. And yet, Lord, through faith we can come and know that true salvation in and through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the example of Peter that you've recorded for us in Scripture. We just pray that you would write it upon our hearts, even that right response to when we hear God call, Lord, to look beyond our own logic and things that make sense to us, and look to a God whose ways are perfect. Look to a God who we can trust, even with our own lives here on earth. And so, Lord, we pray for the young people once again. We thank you for a day to even have our thoughts set upon the young people of the church. Bless them, each and every one of them. We pray that you would lead them on with yourself. And be with this congregation even until we come to meet here again tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
We'll just... Oh, no, we don't have a final hymn. That's us, then. I've down here closing hymn, maybe closing prayer. Sure, I'll just close in prayer, and then you're all free to go home. Dear Lord, thank you for another Sabbath day. Lord, I just thank you for everyone who took part this morning. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with them all, Lord, as we return tonight, Lord, and those who'll take part tonight. Lord, I thank you for David. Lord, I thank you for the message that you gave to him. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that even when you called Peter, Lord, he was obedient. Lord, I pray that you just give us a similar heart, Lord, and you give us open hearts, Lord, that whenever you would call us into whatever path of life you would have for us, Lord, that we would be willing and open to receive that, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would bless us all as we go to our separate homes now, Lord. I ask this in your name. Amen. And Youth Sunday continues tonight, so you'd all be very welcome to join us again tonight. And I think Jonathan Story is speaking tonight, another one of our Bible College students. So, yes, we'd love to see you there. Thank you.